Justice Kavanaugh has the opinion of the court this morning in case 23-235, Food and Drug Administration versus the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine.
Under federal law, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, an agency within the executive branch, ensures that drugs on the market are safe and effective. In 2000, FDA approved a new drug application for mifepristone, an abortion drug used to terminate pregnancies. FDA approved mifepristone for use up to 7 weeks of pregnancy. Only doctors could prescribe it, and patients were required to appear for 3 in-person visits with the doctor. In 2016, FDA relaxed some of those requirements. It deemed mifepristone safe to terminate pregnancies up to 10 weeks rather than 7 weeks. FDA allowed nurse practitioners to also prescribe the drug, and FDA reduced the number of required in-person visits from 3 to 1. In 2021, FDA further relaxed the requirements. Relying on experience gained during the pandemic, FDA announced that it would no longer enforce the initial in-person visit requirement. The 2016 and 2021 changes made it easier for doctors to prescribe and pregnant women to obtain mifepristone. Because mifepristone is used to terminate pregnancies, FDA's approval and regulation have generated substantial controversy from the start. This particular case began in 2022. 4 pro-life medical associations, as well as several individual doctors, sued FDA in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas, and the case eventually made its way to this court. As relevant here, the plaintiffs challenge FDA's 2016 and 2021 actions relaxing regulation of mifepristone. Importantly, the pro-life doctors and medical associations do not themselves prescribe or use mifepristone, and FDA is not requiring them to do or refrain from doing anything. Rather, the plaintiffs want FDA to make mifepristone more difficult for other doctors to prescribe and for pregnant women to obtain. The threshold question is whether the plaintiffs have standing to bring such a suit in federal court under Article 3 of the Constitution. Article 3 limits the role of the federal judiciary in our system of separated powers. As this court explained to President George Washington in 1793 in rejecting his request for a legal opinion, federal courts do not issue advisory opinions about the law, even when requested by the president. Instead, Article 3 limits federal courts to resolving cases where a plaintiff suffered an injury in fact that likely was caused by the defendant and that likely would be redressed by the requested judicial relief. Therefore, an Article 3 court is not a legislative assembly, a town square, or a faculty lounge. Article 3 does not contemplate a system where 330 million citizens can come to federal court whenever they believe the government is acting contrary to the Constitution or other federal law. By limiting who can sue, the standing requirement of Article 3 implements the framers' concept of the proper and properly limited role of the courts in a democratic society. The standing requirement means that the federal courts decide some contested legal questions later rather than sooner, and the standing requirement means that the federal courts may never need to decide some contested legal questions at all. As this court has said before, our system of government leaves many crucial decisions to the political processes, where democratic debate can occur and a wide variety of interests and views can be weighed. Here, the plaintiffs say that they are pro-life, oppose elective abortion, and have sincere objections to mifepristone being prescribed and used by others. When, as here, a plaintiff challenges the government's unlawful lack of regulation of someone else, it can be difficult for the plaintiff to establish standing. That is because unregulated parties may have more difficulty showing that the government's lack of regulation of some third party caused downstream injury to the plaintiffs. To thread the causation needle in those circumstances, the plaintiff must show that the third parties will likely react to the regulation in predictable ways that in turn will likely injure the plaintiffs. So to try to establish their standing here, the plaintiffs advanced three causation theories to connect FDA's actions to the plaintiffs' alleged injuries in fact. First, the doctors contend that FDA's 2016 and 2021 actions will cause more pregnant women to suffer complications from mifepristone, and those women, in turn, will need more emergency abortions by doctors. The plaintiff doctors say that they, therefore, may be required, against their consciences, to render emergency treatment completing the abortions or providing other abortion-related treatment. So the theory is that FDA's relaxed regulation of mifepristone will eventually cause these doctors to violate their consciences if they have to provide treatment to patients who suffer complications. But that argument is not correct, because federal conscience laws fully protect doctors from being required to perform abortions or to provide other treatment that violates their consciences. In other words, under federal conscience laws, no doctors can be forced against their consciences to perform or assist in abortions. Those federal conscience laws and conscience protections therefore break any chain of causation between FDA's relaxed regulation of mifepristone and any asserted downstream injuries to the doctors here. So the plaintiff's first standing argument fails. Second, the doctors cite various monetary and related injuries that they allegedly will suffer as a result of FDA's actions. In particular, diverting resources and time from other patients to deal with patients with mifepristone complications, increasing risk of liability suits from treating those patients, and potentially increasing insurance costs. But the law has never permitted doctors to challenge the government's loosening of general public safety requirements simply because more individuals might then show up at emergency rooms or in doctors' offices with follow-on injuries. Stated otherwise, there is no Article III doctrine of doctor standing that allows doctors to challenge general government safety regulations, nor will this court now create such a novel standing doctrine out of whole cloth. The chain of causation is simply too attenuated. Allowing doctors or other healthcare providers to challenge general safety regulations as unlawfully lax would be an unprecedented and limitless approach and would allow doctors to sue in federal court to challenge almost any policy affecting public health. We decline to start the federal judiciary down that uncharted path. Third, the medical association plaintiffs say that they have standing because they incur costs in advocating against FDA's actions. But an organization that has not suffered a concrete injury caused by a defendant's action cannot spend its way into standing simply by spending money to advocate against the defendant's action. Finally, it has been suggested that the plaintiffs here must have standing because otherwise it may be that no one would have standing to challenge FDA's 2016 and 2021 actions. But even if no one would have standing, this court has long rejected that kind of, if not us, who, argument as a basis for standing. The argument that if these plaintiffs lack standing to sue, no one would have standing is not a reason to find standing. Rather, some issues may be left to the political and democratic processes. We recognize that these plaintiffs have sincere legal, moral, ideological, and policy objections to elective abortion and to FDA's relaxed regulation of mifepristone. But under Article III of the Constitution, those kinds of objections alone do not establish a case or controversy in federal court. Here, the plaintiffs have failed to demonstrate that FDA's relaxed regulatory requirements likely would cause them to suffer an injury in fact. For that reason, the federal courts are the wrong forum for addressing the plaintiffs' concerns about FDA's actions. The plaintiffs may present their concerns and objections to the president and FDA in the regulatory process, or to Congress and the president in the legislative process. and they may also express their views about abortion and mifepristone to fellow citizens, including in the political and electoral processes. This court has said before, no principle is more fundamental to the judiciary's proper role in our system of government than the constitutional limitation of federal court jurisdiction to actual cases or controversies. So it is here. We reverse the contrary judgment of the Court of Appeals. The opinion of the court is unanimous. Justice Thomas has filed a concurring opinion.